Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. The message this week is titled, Send Me. Thank you to Ed, Don, and Glynis for being involved in the video. The scripture reading is Isaiah 6, 1-8, which Ed will read as part of the welcome.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service today. It's good to see so many of you gathered here today, and here and online, you're welcome to be with us. Ron and I have been away for a couple of weeks of vacation, and there is this pivot point when you start looking to coming home, and you're kind of excited about being home. And we're excited to be back after being away for a couple of weeks. I have a few announcements this morning. Happy birthday to Helen and Care and Len and Wayne. We got a couple of you here today. Happy birthday to you coming up. And a happy anniversary to Mary and Brian. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for you being so important in our lives and so present in our lives. We pray, Father, that we might have eyes to see you in people, to see you in places, to see you in nature, that we might affirm your presence in our lives and that we might know that you're there and that you love us and that you care for us. We pray, Father, today as we consider Isaiah and a strong admonition by him saying, here am I, send me, that we might take personally this message, that we might be people who look to go places for you. We're thankful for the gathering here today. We're thankful that we are able to meet. We pray, Father, for those who can't be here, who are sick. We pray for Gloria. We pray for Marion. We pray that they might have a sense of your presence, that there might be peace in their lives, that they might work to with their body to be strengthened. And we pray, Father, that those around them will be supportive. We're thankful that we can be together today, and we pray your blessing on our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we have a reading this morning from Isaiah chapter 6. And this is a really important reading. I love this reading. So I'm going to read it like I'm Isaiah. In the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him was a seraph, each with six wings, two wings that covered his face, and two wings that covered his feet, and two, they were for flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people with unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me.
Good morning, everyone. Delighted to have you with us today. It's interesting to me that the Bible begins. Genesis, beginning. It's the beginning. And Revelation is new beginnings. There is no conclusion of Scripture. There is no conclusion of life itself. Someone said, "Oh, wait a minute. I've been to a lot of funerals. And, you know, someone's life concluded." No, it's not concluded. God has never abandoned anyone, even in death. Life is eternal. But for most of my life, I'm not sure what your experience has been, but for most of my life, I always was taught that when you die, you go to heaven. And that's true, I think. I think that's very true. Heaven is, you're with God. But that is not the end. In fact, there is no end. Creation and ongoing creation. And the Bible speaks of this all throughout Old and New Testament alike. And for me, I guess I'm a slow learner. I need to read it and reread it and reread it again. And today I just want to spend some time looking at some of these scriptures. The book of Isaiah is this beginning. It's the new beginnings. Isaiah gets a glimpse and he wants part of it. It's a continual invitation to restore creation again, but not only creation, but all of us. And if all that sounds confusing, I'll just stop talking and just read some of these magnificent scriptures that were written long before Christ came in the earth, some 700 years in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 57 says, "I will restore comfort to my people." Hosea chapter 6, "And he," meaning Christ, "will restore us that we may live in his presence." Joel chapter 3, "I will restore the futures of Judah and Jerusalem." Amos chapter 9, "I will restore David's fallen shelter." Nahum chapter 2, "The Lord will restore the splendor of Jacob." Zephaniah chapter 2, "The Lord their God will do for them and restore them throughout eternity." So Isaiah begins this masterful book who gives us a look of the Messiah who would come, but he also gives us a look of beyond that, the future, the new beginning of all things. And so in Isaiah 1, he says, so now after he said that, so now let's just reason together that our sins are like scarlet, but God will make them as white as snow. There's these beautiful passages of scripture that just remind us that there is a price that has been paid so that our life will continue to be restored and revived and renewed. And of course, that's because of Jesus. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. There's this special connection for all of us because of Christ Jesus and the one who would come. So all throughout the scripture, there are these marvelous passages of scripture that remind us who God is, and that remind us that our life is an eternal life, and that we come to Christ through his goodness. And the Old Testament talks about it in remarkable ways. As Ed read to us today from Isaiah chapter 6, here is this commission to a prophet to go and proclaim the message of God. And so many years later, in John 17, this is what is said. "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And then Jesus says to his disciples, "As I have been sent, I am sending you." And you and I haven't escaped that commission. If we are part of Christ, the sending of us into the world is just as relevant today as it was in the first century and as it was spoken by the prophets. We go into the world living the example of Christ to the best of our abilities. Let's face it, some days it's not so easy. Some days it's rather difficult. But we want to proclaim this message. The creation, new beginnings. The revelation, ongoing new beginnings. So for the remainder of my time, which will not be long at all today, I just want to read some of these scriptures that I think are pretty relevant. It talks about the price of Christ being sent into the world in Isaiah chapter 52, starting around verse 13. He says, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up, highly exalted." The question is, he will be raised, highly exalted. Is that talking about the reign of Christ? Is it talking about the crucifixion of Christ? He will be raised. He will be raised. And I think the answer is yes to both. Because Christ was raised on a cross, his death for our life, and the ongoing understanding that when Christ was raised from the dead, we too will be raised. Not just to be some kind of ghost floating around in some heavenly creature, but new beginnings, new life, the restoration, the revival, the recreation of all things. And it's very, very difficult for people to grasp all of these things. And yet when Christ was alive, even the Sadducees and Pharisees believed that when you died, yes, there's some kind of something there. There's some kind of recreation there, whether it's heavenly or whatever. And all my life growing up, I was always taught that, well, we're all going to go to heaven one day, which we are, I think, one day going to be with God. But one day God will renew, restore, and revive all things. And it's difficult to grasp something like that, even though it was written before Christ was born, if we've been taught certain things in a certain way all of our life. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. I certainly have. And the older I get, and as a preacher, I keep learning new things, new beginnings. And that's probably maybe a good idea to put on a church sometime. What's this church about? It's about new beginnings. It's about how Christ created. It's how when Christ created the world, Christ did, God did. Colossians 1 says that God was with Christ. Christ was with God right from the very beginning, that he created, that he had in us, in his mind, when each one of us would be born, where we would live. But then he says to us, but I give you the invitation to decide how you're going to live. I knew you before you were born. I know you now. I had you in my mind even before I created the earth, even before Adam and Eve came. I had you in my mind. And you will always be with me. But you choose. You choose. God could be a dictator, but he said, you choose. This is why we have faith. And this is why the Bible continually uses the re words. Renew, restore, revive, begin again, look at again, become fresh in Scripture again. And so I love the fact that Isaiah, some 800 years before Christ was born, 700 or 800 years, give or take 100 years, he's given us this glimpse that this many years later, we're still talking about it, that we're part of something that is renewed. So all throughout Scripture, we have these wonderful Scriptures, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. 2 Corinthians 5. We live, we walk by faith, not just by sight. 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ sets us free from all sin. And so, even before Christ comes into the world, listen to what Isaiah says. Surely he took our pain. Christ hadn't come into the world just yet. 700 years before Christ comes into the world, Isaiah is saying, for us today, 2021, this is relevant for us even now. Surely he took our pain. He bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced. And this is where you become very personal. He was pierced for me, for my transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquities, my sins. The punishment that brought me, you and I, peace was on him. By his wounds, we are healed. And throughout Scripture, how many times do we hear this? That he himself, this is Peter, bore our sins on the cross that we might die to sin and to live for righteousness. By his wounds, we are healed. There is this future look based on what we have said today. There is this future look of the declaration of God, which is God's family coming together as one. Then he says, after he suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. He poured out his life into death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for us. This is the new beginnings that we have because of Christ. So let me just read to you a couple of passages again that I think is happy. I love the fact that even before Christ came into the world, there are these wonderful, unique, sometimes awkward prophets that come into the world eating ridiculous food and doing all kinds of crazy things, but they got people's attention. And once they had their attention, the message never changed. Even though a prophet, some 500 years before the next prophet, they all preached the same message. You are loved. You're not just a coincidence of creation. All things started fresh, and all things will be renewed and restored one day. And you happen to be part of it. And if your life isn't going so well, God has good news for you. He loves you. He's brought so many people into the world, prophets, the Messiah himself, to come and declare the message of God and what it looks like and what the future will look like. So all throughout these scriptures, there are these wonderful comments that are made. So for example, I just pulled out one early this morning. In Isaiah chapter 58, I guess around verse 9, he says this. Somebody, I think, who is feeling down and out. Maybe you're here today, you're listening today, and you're feeling down and out. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. That doesn't mean he's going to answer right away. Sometimes he does, but sometimes it takes a while. And you will call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. And you will do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk. And if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. And then in verse 11, it says, the Lord will guide you always. The Lord will guide you always. And sometimes in life, we wonder about that. Because all of us, most likely here, have gone through traumatic, horrific experiences. And we really sometimes wonder. And then looking back, even though it may have been extremely difficult, we know that he was with us. Him being with us doesn't mean he always takes away the pain, but he's with us. The fact is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. And then he says, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins of Jerusalem and will raise up age-old foundations. You will be called, how's this for a nickname? You will be called repairer of broken walls. You will be called restorer of streets with dwellings. No more living abandoned, but the fact that God is always with us. Just a couple more passages and I'll leave it with you. I love the fact that there are so many unique scriptures in the Bible that grab us. So again, some 700 years before Christ is born, here's what God says to Isaiah, and he says to us, see, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. And as was said in Revelation, and these are good words, the sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. I love the fact that the Bible begins with new beginnings. And I love the fact that the Bible concludes with new beginnings. It's an ongoing process. Someone says, so-and-so passed from this life. Yeah. It doesn't say so-and-so no longer exists. We may have said that. Scripture doesn't say that. Because someone has passed doesn't mean they don't exist. God knew us before we were born. It's hard to grasp that God knew us before Adam and Eve. He created us even before he created the world in his image. It's life after life after death. Those people whom we've loved and who've passed, we're going to see them again. The Bible does not conclude with, that's it, that's all there is to it. Beam me up to heaven, Scotty. No, no. The end of Revelation has heaven and earth coming together as one. And here are the words that I read in my mind. Early this morning, I went through a lot of scripture. Because of the resurrection of Christ, death is no longer the enemy. And ultimately, because of the resurrection, there will be the renewal of all things, the restoration of all things, the redemption of all things, the reconciliation of all things. It's the ongoing process. As Paul said, it's God's intent to bring all things together. Listen, things in heaven and things on earth. The Bible in Revelation does not conclude with the destruction of all things. The end of Revelation begins with the joining together of heaven and earth. Those people whom you love and who've passed, you're going to see them again. They exist. They have passed, and yet they exist. One day, all things will be renewed. All things will be restored. I just looked at some of these scriptures today. The restoration of all things, the renewal, the reconciliation, all of these things exist. Isaiah, so many years before Christ comes into the world, gives us this glimpse. So let me conclude with these words. God speaking. As the new heavens and the new earth that I will make, they will endure before me. And so will your name endure with me forever. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, completely restored, completely new. I saw a new earth. That sounds good. But a new heaven? Yeah. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Listen now. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea, which is a strange comment to make, except that the seas were sometimes ferociously fearful. All that's gone. And I saw the holy city, catch this, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God and prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Look, someone says, God's dwelling place is now among the people. God will dwell with them. They will be his people. For God himself will be with them and be their God, walking and talking with God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain, for that old order of things has passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, I am making everything new. Everything new. And because you have a relationship with Christ, you will too. You will too. He will make everything new. You're going to get back what you've lost. And what's most important is the people whom we've lost. God says, no. You're going to get them back. It's going to be brand new. Not floating around in the sky. It's the joining together of heaven and earth. It's this something that we can look forward to called the reconciliation, the renewal, the restoration, and the redemption of all things. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning or crying or pain. For all that has passed away. The renewal of all things. So like I say, I think the Bible is pretty cool. It begins with new beginnings. We are reminded, even before Christ comes into the world, about new beginnings. Christ comes into the world and teaches new beginnings. He proves that death is not the end by dying and being raised again and saying, we're going to come together. All of us are going to come together one day. Let me just say, if you're having a bad day or a bad week or a bad month or a bad year, just think about what God has promised that you will have. Stay close to to him. And for people who are having a tough time, remind them of what they have, a renewal, something coming that is beyond comprehension, and that you can share that with others too. May God bless you.
Good morning. You know, I think in light of all that Don has said and that those amazing songs, I think possibly one of our greatest transgressions is inattention and just, and yet it's like it's impossible not to. Like, I'm not saying that we should always be on, but we're so unaware so often. It's amazing. As I was preparing for communion, I sat and prayed and, you know, just for insight into what God wanted to say through me. And as often happens, I had sort of a scripture come to mind. And in the digital world, it's super easy to find out anything, any scripture that you want. And so my inspiration from God came from John 16 and 17, which is just before Jesus is about to enter into those last stages of his life, which were unbelievable. And I've just pulled a couple. In 16:21, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And John 17:11, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And then 20-26. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So from those scriptures, there's pain, there's joy, there's peace, there's trouble. There's protection. There's glory. There's unity. There's being loved. Isn't that what we need? God knows so much of what we need. As the author and perfecter of our souls, he knows us deep down inside. And the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, the reason that we celebrate communion is How can you know me so well, God? How can you know exactly what I need? I am so grateful. I'm so grateful. And then there's always that layer with God and loving others. And loving others. And helping them to know what we know. Let's pray together. Dearest Lord God, truly, you are an amazing God. God, we are so grateful that you love us from the very beginning to the new beginning. God, you love us. We are dear to you. We have pain, but we have joy. We have trouble, but we have protection. God, you give us all that we need. God, help us. God, through this small token of remembrance of all you have done for us, help it to refresh us. Help us to glimpse your glory yet again. God, we love you. We thank you. We pray for both the bread and for the grape juice that we take. And God, that it would be a true communion that would bring us together in you in unity. God, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we've heard a lesson on restoration and renewal. And sometimes we think that restoration and renewal is going to take place somewhere in the future. But I like to believe that it's going on right now. That we're being renewed, that we're being restored, and that this is an ongoing process and not something that's going to happen at, you know, after we die and with the resurrection of Jesus. The question is, what do we do in the meantime? What's happening in the meantime? Are we open to restoration and renewal in our lives? Hopefully we are. I think sometimes we see this, here am I, Lord, serve me. Help me be prosperous. Give me a great job. Give me perfect relationships in my life. Give me a fat bank account. Give me good health and vigor and smarts. You're laughing because in my case, this hasn't happened. But as we've been reminded here, that there are all these things, all good things happen and all bad things happen, that just so are, it is our life. So what do we do in the meantime? Here am I, Lord, send me. Send me to who? Send me to people in my lives, whoever they are, wherever they are. Like Ron at the golf course, when I had a chance to just play 9 holes with him all by myself, he said at one point in time, this big, tough, rough character, he said, I'm not a religious man, but I try to live by love your neighbor as yourself. Well, big, tough Ron, you're not too far away from the kingdom. So maybe I'm being sent to Ron. To be with Ron and to be an example to him and to help him find out that there is a God behind that principle of loving your neighbor as yourself. Or maybe it could be in simple service to us or to people. Like Murray's seen a need that the gardens need to be fixed, and he's gone about to do that. What an amazing thing that's been for us. So sometimes we think it's, well, you know what? I can't go to New Guinea and preach the gospel. But that doesn't mean that you can't be sent to people in your life. So we need to recognize the people in our lives. That's our mission. That's who we're being sent to. And ask the Lord to help us in that regard. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for you, that you love us and that you care for us, that you sent Jesus to this world to show us what you're really all about. That in the words of Jesus, we can have a glimmer of what you're like as a God. That you care for us, that you love us, that you extend grace to us. And we pray in this world, as we have declared that we believe, that you'll help us with our unbelief, that you'll help us to be your feet and your hands and your words and your emotions and your caring in this world. We pray, Father, mightily that we can say, here am I, you, Lord, send us, and that we'll feel that we're being sent by you for your purposes. We pray, Father, for eyes and ears and a brain to think that through and to know how to be your hands and feet. We're thankful for the message today of restoration and renewal. We pray, Father, that it'll happen in our lives right now and in the future, and that we are in your hands. We're thankful, people, for God that you are, and the Savior that you sent, and the Spirit that resides in us, and it's in these things that we pray. Amen. Have a good week.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.